Tim and Jess.
Weekday mornings from 5
on Hit. I want to tell you just the most wildly inappropriate story ever, if that's all right.
If
you're sitting in your car.
Look, it's early, I'll allow it.
Strap in, because this is brilliant. So this woman, her name's Cianne, and she is a single woman, but she has a love that she cannot commit to because he is not real, as he is, in her words, a ghost.
Oh, good Lord.
She's fallen in love with a ghost. The ghost's name is Robert. And
how does she know what the ghost's name is?
Because he spoke to her.
Of course he did.
And so he came to her one night in her bed, and things got a little bit ghost freaky.
Oh, stop it.
So they had some adult times, and she said...
You can't do that with a ghost.
Well, I agree, because they're not real. But here's some quotes from this lady, Cianne. She sobbed because she'd fallen in love with Robert the ghost after their session. And he was very gentle.
Oh,
and
my
he
God.
Stroked my body tenderly. This is not 50 Shades of Grey, by the way.
Good Lord. It's written better than the 50 Shades of Grey
During
books.
The lovemaking, I sensed all kinds of things about him. His name was Robert, and he lived 100 years ago. She got that all from the ghost thing.
Okay. All right.
Now, here's the kicker, right? Here's the kicker about this ghost loving. We didn't speak. It was as if we were communicating telepathically. And even when he moved on top of me, pressing down, he almost felt weightless because he's not real, mate.
Is she hallucinating?
But she said it's the best adult lovemaking she's ever had in her life with the ghost of Robert.
Tim, the first thing we got told when we moved to CQ was don't lick toads.
Don't lick toads.
And I feel like this lady has licked a few toads.
And a couple of other things. It's Tim and Jess.
Oh, Tim.
Get up with Tim and Jess.
Jess, tomorrow night we're going out to Roxhole to Tanham Sands because I've entered you in the Chili Wing annual competition down there. It is tomorrow night. As I said, 2 wings per round. There's 10 rounds. So essentially maximum of 20 wings. It's not
Which is just an average weekend for me.
It's not on quantity. It is quality of spice. I obviously start at 1, level 1, going all the way through to level 10. Mm-hmm. I've set you the challenge to see how far you can go. And I would like to put forward my case because I think there should be repercussions no matter the result.
Okay. I confidently think that I will make it into the 5 to 10 bracket.
So more than 5 or 5? So you have to get 5 plus or 6. You have to get to the 6th round as a success.
I reckon if I get to the 6th round, I will call it a success.
So you have to successfully, after the 5th one, you can't jump out. If you finish the 5th one and you haven't touched the milk within the time, then that's a pass.
Yes.
If you don't, you will have to, on Monday on the show, have the number 10 sauce live on air.
Okay.
Which I believe will be a Reaper sauce, which is the hottest sauce possible.
Can I also throw into the mix?
Sure.
If I do make it past the 5th round,
okay,
you on Monday's show will have to take the number 10.
Sure. I'm that confident that you're not going to do it because you're a sook.
This makes me want it so much more.
So essentially, you just have to do half the effort, Jess. And I know you not doing full effort is something that's fantastically
something
easy.
Something I'm quite good at. Question.
Okay.
How much of the wing do I have to eat? Is it like I have to clean the bone?
I believe you have to eat the full wing.
Okay. So it's not just like a bite of each.
No. So if you touch the milk or the yogurts in front of you, immediately lose. But you never know. You could win the trophy, Jess. There's a trophy you could get your name on.
I want a trophy so bad. Is it a trophy with like a chicken wing on it, or is it a trophy with a chicken?
It's chicken wing trophy. So
I need this trophy, yep. Tim.
So Jess,
I need it.
After this song, you said you've got a coach that's going to help you through it.
He's not just any coach, Tim. He's a competitive eater.
All right.
And he's ranked 2nd in Australia.
Oh, God.
And 9th in the world.
All right. Couldn't get 1st and 8th. But
trophy is mine.
All right. We'll talk to him next. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, joined on the line now. I've decided to find myself a little bit of an eating coach. And I've got one of the best. His name is Hulk Smash Food.
All right.
And he's ranked number 2 in Australia and number 9th in the world as a competitive eater.
My word. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
We are not worthy. But,
we are not worthy.
Now, Hulk Smash, we are getting Jess ready for this tomorrow night, and she's claimed she's the wing queen. She's always said it. And it's the thing that I think might get her, it's volume. It's not volume. It's the spice level. 10 spices. If she touches milk, then she's out. How do you go about something like that? Advice for Jess.
Well, I'd definitely be preparing probably 24 hours before with some spice. So getting something hot, maybe, depending on how hot the wings go up to, maybe get your hands on some ghost chili. That's probably the third hottest one going around at the moment. Then you have your Trinidad Scorpion, which is the second hottest. That one's pretty bad. And then you go right up to probably what the end wings will be. They'll probably be in a Reaper sauce, Carolina Reaper. That's the hottest chili on the planet at the moment.
Last night I did get myself a pad thai and I went medium instead of mild. So I thought I went a bit all out, but you're telling me I should go real hot in preparation.
Probably not going to cut it.
Now, I have seen this and I don't recommend it for children. How is it about putting wax around your mouth to make sure the burns don't get? Is that cheating?
Are you just talking about The Simpsons?
A little bit.
I can't say I've ever tried that, but I know people have tried cooking oil. I heard about that once, but someone like drunk cooking oil to try and line their stomach. It's a vegetable oil, but no, I can't say I'd give that a go.
So wait, are you saying that once it goes in my mouth, then it continues to burn through my stomach? Is that?
Oh yeah. Well, with the so the Carolina Reaper, the hottest one on the planet, we call the Creeper because you eat it and it's extremely hot, but it also builds still for the next 4 or 5 minutes.
So
it gets hotter and hotter and hotter.
Tim, what have I done?
Me and Isaac did the hottest burger in Australia on the roller coaster at Luna Park, and that was pretty much slathered everything in Carolina Reaper, and we were in pain for about 22 or 23 hours after.
Oh, my God.
See, this is what I'm worried about. Essentially, what Jess's main fear is that it gets too hot right before the next level starts, because she has to get to 5 for it to be a technical pass. What can she do if she's on the line and she's going, I don't think I can get it? How do you get her through just each level one by one?
Yeah, you just got to be mentally strong. Just block it out.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest weaknesses. This was supposed to make me feel better, Tim, and it's made me feel like 110% worse.
Hulk Smash, we really appreciate your time, and hopefully Jess's mental state can still be strong tomorrow night.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, mate. I'll let you know how we go.
Will do.
Cheers, mate. So, Jess, are you going to try the one of the ghost peppers tonight?
I don't know where I'm going to find a ghost pepper, so I'll just get a bottle of sriracha sauce and hope for the best.
Get up with Tim and Jess. With Christmas coming up, we hopefully want to be able to help you save some money without stinging this Chrissy time.
Yeah, because look, it turns out that every family has a different method for how they buy Christmas presents. We've been chatting around the office. One of the ladies in the office said she's spending $100 on one kid, so she's got to spend $100 on the other kid. Doesn't matter what,
fairness,
how many presents each of them get, but that's the amount they get spent.
Obviously, every family's got a different situation, and you might be unfortunate not be able to splash the cash this Chrissy, but we would like to focus on sort of making sure that you don't overspend, because I think it is easy to overspend because you always say, all right, I'll set this limit, but then you go, oh, this is it's just over, and then this one's just over, and then you could end up spending hundreds more dollars than you anticipate.
Absolutely. And look, even people with a lot of money, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, they've even said that they're not going to buy their kids too many presents this Christmas.
All right, that's
because
that's
they don't
much.
Want them to be spoiled little a-holes.
Well, that's good. You don't because you don't want to spoil, but you want to set a right limit for your children. If you got one child or two child, 50 childs, I don't care. You want to set it in a good even spread. And we want to know the best ways that you don't spoil your kid at Christmas time.
Because I had cousins that used to, I still have cousins.
Righto.
But they used to count how many presents they each got. So if one of them got 7 presents and the other got only 5, they would get really upset. And I just never understood that.
Privilege in action. Like, just,
isn't it?
It's just beautiful.
Absolutely.
But no, like, and as you get older, you go, crap, I've actually got to buy a fair few people presents. And if you've got a big family like me, oh no.
I have that many Kris Kringles on the go. It is too much.
Hopefully we don't have a work one because I'm not in that.
I was going to set one up.
Anyway, 13, 12, 16, give us a call. Let us know how you don't overspend on Christmas and making sure it's nice, fair and even.
Yeah, what's your plans? Got Marlene from Gladstone on 13, 12, 16. Marlene, what's your method?
Well, I just buy a whole heap of presents, wrap them up, and then they do a lucky dip.
A lucky dip?
That is
lucky dip Christmas.
Know?
That's amazing. So it's kind of like one kid might get a better present than the other, but that's the luck of the draw.
Tyson, enjoy your sports,
exactly.
Bruh.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like that, though.
And boys. So
it's a bit exciting.
Oh, so they were all boys? Girly.
That makes it easy.
No, they're all girls.
Oh, all girls.
All right. That so does make it easier.
Worry about the gender.
Yep.
Because I was going to say, if you've got two boys and a girl, that could end up dangerous, getting a Barbie doll.
Well, it could. Yeah,
oh, but I guess,
sure.
No,
but
sorry, then, it is times no. when boys and girls can play with gender-neutral toys.
And then you can always do the swap and steal game after. Like, yes. you either pick up a new present or you swap it for someone else's present.
Marlene, I do like That's your right. idea, and we appreciate your call.
No worries.
Got Jace from Rockhampton on 13, 12, 16. Jace, how do you make sure you're not overspending at Christmas time?
Mate, get the kids. We've got a bit of a process where they have to write a list. Where they have to put down something they need, something they want, something they read can read, and something they can wear. And it's really trying to teach them to appreciate what they get.
Yeah,
Jace, that is a good system.
Because then obviously you can pass that on to Santa, or you split the bill and you figure out, right, Santa, you got this one, we got this one, Santa. Is that right, Jace?
Yeah, and it's really simple. So if they need a new pair of shoes. That's their need and they want, and they can wear it, and I make sure they get a book as well.
It's a checklist. It's a checklist.
He's making them make the list, and then he checks it twice.
Exactly right.
Mate, thanks for your call, Jace.
All right, no problem.
No worries, mate.
I mean, both incredible methods for Christmas.
Can't wait to have kids, by the way. Looking forward to it. I better get on it. It's Tim and Jess. It's CQ.
Get up with Tim and Jess.
Tim, yesterday morning, if you missed it, around this time I declared to you I had a surprise. It was not necessarily a surprise you were going to be okay with.
What a surprise it turned out to be, hey?
I presented you with some nose wax.
Yeah, apparently my nose hair's too long and you decided enough was enough. So you bought, we heated up the wax and we shoved it in our nose. We did it on air. But you did it wrong at the first time.
Of course, I'm not a beautician. I don't know how to do that.
You're kidding me.
But I was sick of seeing you sit there pulling your nose hairs out, pulling your moustache hairs out, pulling your beard hairs out. Yeah. It was getting to me.
So after the show, we put the cameras on. The video is going to be up soon. And we recorded a couple of successes on trying to pluck out my nose hairs. Have a listen.
Oh, it's warm. Yeah, that one's going to set.
Good. Okay, so now we give it 60 seconds. You got to pull down on the mustache and then yank it out aggressively. Can't believe the other one didn't work.
Well, you gave it to me. It was like hold plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's holding itself in now.
Oh, no.
All right. Three.
Oh.
Two. Oh, my word. One. Oh! That's foul. There's not that much. It's not fun. We need it. Come on. Let's do this proper.
All right. Do the other one. This one's hot. Let's stick another one in as well. Three, two, one.
Oh!
Did it finally work? Oh, that is disgusting. That is beyond disgusting.
My word.
Finally, we got a result. All right. Let's go parade it around the office.
And that we did.
Left him in our boss's bin.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You're the worst. So, hey, look.
That ripping sound is even more
aggressive.
Violent through the microphone.
If you want to, I'll see if I can get it again.
Oh, God. It just.
Let me have a listen.
Oh!
Yeah, no, it's not good. Hey, look, I do recommend it because, man, I've been breathing heaps more. Just oxygen's getting in because it's not trapped by a jungle.
So what's that? Thank you so much, Jessica. You're a genius and you're beautiful.
Thanks buddy. Mate. All right, your turn next. Tim and Jess.
Get up with Tim and Jess.
And if you are about to go on a first date, I heed this warning to you. Just be careful because in a certain situation, you might be stuck paying for a full bill where I still believe 50-50 is really nifty. That's the saying you should always go with. 50-50 is always nifty.
With your girlfriend, your first date, who paid?
That was a while ago. I think I would have.
Oh, but 50-50 is really nifty, Tim.
Jess, what I'm saying is that I just... 2017 is a time for just every version of equality ever.
And see, I believe, okay, once the first date's done, then 50-50 is real nifty. But I think that first date, it's like you're trying to impress one another. And I think that something that impresses me is when a guy pays for the bill. He's like, I've taken you out. He takes control.
Okay, but in the same side, isn't it weird now, say if I went on my first day with my girlfriend and she said, I'll pay for the whole thing, and I'm blown away because that's shocking. Isn't that a bad statement on the idea of a first date? But it's so shocking that the girl is paying for the first date that I'm like, what is going on? Like,
I would think she was testing you to see whether you would go, no, no, no,
see,
I got this.
That's crap because it's either a test or either I'm in the wrong.
Because every time I go on a first date, and there's a lot of them.
All right.
There's never a second.
We've all got weeknights. Calm down.
I will always offer. But the expectation is there that, no, 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 I got this. Like, you have to offer. It's a polite thing to do. And if in the same way that if he doesn't pay, if I don't offer, then I look like a bad person.
So if he suggests to you, all right, hey, do you want to go 50-50? It's about $80. We'll go $40 each. Is that a turn off for you?
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, if the date's
gone really well, then I'd probably have a second. But like, I went on a terrible date once, and then at the end of it, the guy was like, so how are we going to do this? Yeah. And I was like, how are we going to do this? I'm never going to see you again. That's how we're
going to
do this.
See, I like to imagine you going, but then I have to pay for my own food.
Well, like, again, the first date, that's all I'm expecting. After that, second date, I'm happy to chip in. I'm happy to pay for the whole thing.
Oh, you're a saint, mate. Jeez. I think it's a weird culture that obviously it's a traditional thing.
Yeah.
But of course, if you're getting something out of it, why don't we just keep that tradition, eh? So it did get me thinking. 13, 12, 16, give us a call. How do you split the bill on the first date?
Yeah.
Because I would love to. Well, I don't go on first dates anymore. Because I'm well into a relationship and I don't need to have this argument. But I don't
like... Does your girlfriend
like...
pay for anything now? Or?
Yeah, she pays for heaps, man. She pays for... She doesn't even live with me and she pays for more stuff than I do. But 13, 12, 16, what do you do on the first date? Because I would like to think in this world of 2017, it should not be expected of the bloke. I know there's terrible things going on in the world, but I want to focus on this
right
now.
It's a game, though. It's the game you play.
Dating isn't a game! We're all people. 13, 12, 16, what do you do on the first date when you're splitting the bill? 13, 12, 16, we've got Donna from Gladstone. Donna, what do you do on the first date? How do you split the bill?
You don't split the bill on the first date. If you invite me out, you're paying. Sorry.
Thank you, okay, Donna. This is what I said.
All right, Donna, I'm going to flip it. Yeah. Say you've asked a nice young gentleman out on a date, then is it expected of you to pay that full bill?
I'm totally cool with that.
See, I like Donna.
So the rule is whoever asks for the date ends up having to pay for the meal. Is that what you're saying?
That's the way it should go. And the thing is, the expectation you set right from date one, if it all goes well, you set the bar for the rest of life.
Yes.
For the rest of life.
Because obviously the first date's going to go heaps well to be and honest, you're going to have more.
Yeah, to be honest, Donna, that's a lot of pressure going into a first date all of a sudden now.
Not to say that you can't offer to pay in smaller dates down the track.
Yeah.
But you set the expectation and the standard. If that's how you want to live your life, then you just set that right from word go. It's easier.
Fair enough, mate. I appreciate your honesty. Thanks for your call.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Nick on 13, 12, 16. Nick, do you split the bill on the first date?
I don't, but I have a move that means I get to pay for it and avoid all the awkwardness of it.
Oh, tell us your move.
I've used this quite a few times, which probably means I've been going on too many first dates, but regardless... So once we've come to the end of the meal, we've been chatting for a little while, and I'm thinking it's probably time to go. I'll be like, oh, just got to go to the bathroom, and then I'll go to the bathroom. But then on the way back, I'll quickly pay for it, quick little PayPal tap, and go. I'm out of there. Yep. Then when she's like, oh, let's go, I'm like, oh no,
it's all done.
I got it, honey. I got it. That would so work on me.
I've got a tag.
It's already done. There's no complaining.
My clothes will be off so fast.
All right. We'll keep your number though, Nick.
Yeah, no problem.
See, but you never feel like, oh, maybe like you want to split it. What if she's asked you on a date? Do you pay fully if she's asked you?
No, I mean, it's probably a different time. That's yet to happen to me, so we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
This is the problem I'm having, though.
No, I like Nick's method because it avoids all the awkwardness of it. And then after that, you don't have to pay. After that, I'd be really impressed by that move, and I would try that move on him. Like, it would be like a fun little game, who can pay first?
You're all messed in the head, but I appreciate your call. Thanks, Nick.
No worries,
mate. I feel like I'm just being a tight ass. I'm not trying to be a tight ass.
Being a tight ass.
Well, you're being a tight ass for never having paid 50 dates. That movie, 50 First Dates, is based on your life.
Yeah, but if the date's bad, at least I got a good feed, right?
Yeah, and I'm the bad person.
This is the Tim and Jess podcast. On Hit.